Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. You're today here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. How are we doing, Brad?
Oh, doing great, Scott.
Cool. Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. Buy DVD-XDV, the coolest software to take MPEG-2 content, get it off the DVD and onto some cool editing application, Final Cut, Avid Express, you name it, check it out, DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the greatest place to get upgrades for your PowerBook, SuperDrive, your G4, your G5, 8X, 16X dual layer burners, and they're also an Apple authorized reseller, so you can pick up a cool MacBook Pro at a discounted price and already loaded with all the goodies.
Oh, yeah.
So, cool stuff. You can check them out at MCETech.com and Lynda.com for online training. 11,000 movies online. You can learn anything you need to know on your Macintosh right there in your Mac. Check them out at Lynda. That's Lynda, Lynda.com. And our media partners of Creative Pro at CreativePro.com. Mac Update at MacUpdate.com, and the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, PrintingForLess.com. So how are you doing today?
Oh, doing great. Well, I had a little harrowing ride up the freeway. There's a lot of rain coming down in Northern California, so we're getting it.
It's horrible. It's been raining for a month.
It's been raining for a month solid, yeah. Yeah, but just, you know, it's going to be great because there's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a great summer because we won't get too hot here. It'll be nice.
Yeah, I bet it's going to be like 100 here.
Oh, it'll be 100 in June. You'll be like praying for rain in June and July.
That's what I'm saying. You know?
It's like, enjoy it while you got it, because once the summer hits, it's just, oh, it's just, it's painful.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
Cool stuff there. Early in the week, I was in Hollywood, so the weather was nice there, at least for one day.
I know.
Only one.
Yeah. It's rare that California gets this much rain, but when you do, you just got to enjoy it.
You know, it's all good. Cool stuff there. We got a pretty cool lineup for the show today.
Yeah, what do we got going on today?
We have, of course, next up, we have Philip Hodges. We're doing our digital weekly production buzz.
Yeah.
Post news. Andy Shallot on later doing the Mac Design Out of the Box tip of the week. Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. Then in studio, we're going to have Tad Shelby from Logitech.
Ah.
Talking about their cool new product. So we're going to be talking about that for all our graphic design people. And hopefully soon it'll evolve into...
For Final Cut, maybe.
Oh, yeah,
who knows what?
You never know. There,
it's assignable buttons. You can do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. Then our second hour, we're going to have Philip Goodward on from Smile on My Mac talking about a cool piece of software called BrowseBack. That's going to be cool stuff there. Then later on, we're going to have John Rockwell talking about Remix Hotel and the Winter Music Conference.
Oh, that's cool.
John's with Mix Magazine. With Electronic Musician and Remix.
Yeah. See, I like the Mix Magazine is my favorite. One of those great magazines where you can just get all of the good technical details. You know, it's just, it's fabulous.
It's cool guy.
It's
lots
of good
Tools
stuff.
Coverage.
Oh, it's just, you know, if you want to get a good set of monitors, if you want to look at, you know, some tools, they just have like the best reviews. They're fantastic.
Right. Really, so we're going to have a little announcement here with Johnny on the show about Inside Mac and some other stuff going on. So we're going to talk about this. It's going to be pretty cool. So we got a, you know,
got a good happy lineup. Little lineup. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely there's other cool things going on in Lando Mac, so everything's looking cool.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I was mentioning that Greg Benson he was on the program a couple of weeks ago. His podcast now cracking into the top 100 of the comedy list.
Yep.
He's doing really well. He just put a short last night that was really funny. So he's doing good. I just talked to him the other day.
Yeah, and earlier this week, Apple released 10.4.6.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 10.4.6
is out.
New
update via the software update or the website.
Yeah, nothing major in it, but just some other little good tweaks in there.
Yeah, fixes AFP file sharing, Cisco VPN servers, routers, a lot of IP stuff. There's some Bluetooth goodies in there.
Yeah.
Searching iWork 06 and Microsoft dates for Office and, you know.
Oh, yeah, all the good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, things for automated workflows for iPhoto 6 and...
All good
mounting
stuff.
And unmounting iDisk volumes are actually better now. Just gobs stuff. We'll talk about that later. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of the very cool hardware diagnostic device Protégé. You can check them out at micromat.com. Right now we have Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister, talking about all the cool new post-production, and all kinds of great video news of the week. How are we doing, Philip?
I am wonderful, Scott, but some people seem to like to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Really?
As you know, Final Cut went universal last week, just making sliding in under the end of March deadline that Steve Jobs set back in January.
Yep.
With a nice 5.1 release. Now, you'd think that people would be happy with that. I mean, it's a very simple cross-grade. Yes, you've got to send your disc in, which I'm not entirely comfortable with that, but that's the rules that have been set, and it's $49 if you're already a Final Cut Studio owner and you get the whole new one. And yet, out there on the forums, on some forums, people have erupted with indignation.
So you're telling me the guys over at the Cow are freaking out?
What are they saying?
It's the LeftyCug forum that's the ones where the majority of the upset is.
Really?
Surprisingly enough, yeah. And they're upset because Apple had the temerity to include bug fixes in 5.1.
Oh, no. So now they're upset because their workflow was disturbed?
Yeah, but you know, when you start building a product, you have to basically cut over to a new build. You can't go back and fix. You can't be maintaining two build lines, you know, when you're creating this product. So it's only logical that they're basically saying, hey, that's it. We're cutting over to universal binaries. End of story.
And it's exactly what they've done with every other release. You know, version 5 yeah. comes out. There are bug fixes in version 5. They don't get put back into version 4.5 or version 4.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I just
don't understand. It's like it's $49, people.
So what's
a really good meal?
Exactly. That's like a drink in San Francisco.
Exactly. You don't even get the drink if you have to pay for parking. Yeah,
oh, that's right.
But what's the big deal? What's everybody whining about? What's the problem? Because I heard it's 2.5 times faster on a MacBook Pro than the old PowerPC version.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I mean, it's probably maybe not in every operation, but I'm sure that it's.
No, but what's
be
everybody whining about though? What's the big?
They're whining
whine?
About the fact that if you want the bug fixes, you actually have to buy the upgrade.
Too bad. Stop your crying and start your buying.
Yeah, I mean it's expensive even for Apple
it,
to just to handle the admin. There's a certain overhead cost.
You know what the whole thing is though? Why are editors now turning into a bunch of whiny, crying babies? You know, why don't they step back a few years and go buy an Avid for $100K and then whine when they have to do an upgrade for $20,000?
Oh yeah.
Well, and after paying $2,000 a year for the privilege of buying an upgrade.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So now they have to pay $49, and these cheap, whiny little editors are crying over at Michael Horton's forum because they're just little whiners. Oh, I want my free fix. No, dude, it's a dot upgrade. Step up to the pay window, brother, and pay, or just go away. Go get a PC. Yeah. Get Movie
Maker. Just keep using what you've been using. It's been making money for you, has it? Or you're not in a business.
Yeah.
No, I'm using Final Cut 4.5, and it's making money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not whining about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a certain amount of administrative overhead and work, and you can't charge nothing for the upgrade because you have to basically even update your records of where everybody is, and you have to send out media and all of this stuff. So, I mean, they're not making, at $49, they're not making anything. It's probably costing them money, you know, to get these sent out. So, and to handle, I mean, it's kind of crazy the way they do it. You send in your discs and everything, so somebody has to handle the discs, and I don't know why they did it that way, but, you know, it just seems like, $49 is no big deal.
Yeah, it's got to be a disc because it needs to be everything needs to be reinstalled with the universal binary version. So,
hey, I'm
but the
happy.
Good news is there's been some benchmarks out there on Creative Cow.
Yeah, and what have we seen here?
We've seen just like Brad said, it's faster. Even Motion Preview's faster on the MacBook Pro than it does on a PowerPC. On the G5 PowerPC.
Oh, so that's because of, I think that's mostly because of the PCI Express graphics, because it relies heavily on that. And the graphics are very good on a MacBook Pro and some of the Intel iMacs. Very good graphics systems.
But before you get to the post-production, you want to shoot, so actually 16x9 Inc. have released a new Focus and Iris control for that beautiful HVX 200 that everybody is getting so excited about.
You mean the one with the really soft images?
Yeah, the one with the really soft images that I'm actually not anywhere near as excited as many people I know about.
Yeah, well, okay, we can get another rant about that one too if you want. But, I'm in rant mode today.
We're in rant mode. He got it at 3 a.m. last night from.
I'm in rant mode. So, but go ahead and let's tell us about this deal for the HVX 200.
Well, it also works on the DVX 100B for some reason, but apparently not the A and the unspecified. But the Foxy is kind of different from the version that you're using, Scott, in that this is actually the knobs on the side of your remote handle. You can just sort of tweak them with your fingers and thumb as you would if you were actually working on the lens. It's got markings for follow focus. So it's a slightly different type of thing, but it's nearly $500 at the discounted price. So
that's pretty good. I mean, that actually gives you controls like a real camera gig where you can actually have focus and all your zoom controls and everything's manual on your handles.
Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah, you've got 270 degrees of motion on your focus alone.
Well, I'm telling you, using that small style camera, as we know, trying to do manual focus on it's a pain.
It's impossible.
Camera and you're holding the lens, it's different. But on this little camera that's really not, I don't know.
Yeah, you're basically just holding onto a gnat and trying to focus on the gnat. You know, it's like,
there's something
small.
To be said, there's a point where a camera goes too small to be functional, particularly for a pro. And who owns your footage?
What's that?
Who owns your footage? When you shoot a project for a client, who actually owns the footage for that project?
I would say if the client paid for it, then they own it.
In actual fact, they don't.
Really?
Nope. I mean, there's a difference between what the law says and what's good commercial sense. And certainly good commercial sense would say that if you've paid me to make something and I have shot footage for you, then you would own that. But the law says something quite different, and that is that the person who shot it owns it unless the contract with the client has those magic words in it, work for hire.
Oh.
If they say work for hire, if somebody asks Brad to code something for them and they say work for hire on that, then Brad does not own the code. But if they magically forget to put out that in the contract, or you forget to put it in the contract that you send them, and you work for them for 2 years and they pay you handsomely for it, but you own the code that you created for them. They don't actually own that code.
If somebody
designs a logo for you and you don't specifically say it's a work for hire, then you don't own your logo.
Wow. Where did this ruling come down?
It's actually quite accepted copyright law. It's nothing new in here. It's just that it came up during the week and we had a good discussion about it on the Digital Production Buzz In-Depth segment last week.
Wow.
And looked at all of the issues around that. And there's actually quite a good article over at digitaljuice.com in their magazine article section, so you can trace that down. But an intellectual property lawyer there talks about who owns what, and when you do and when you do not own it. In Australia, it's kind of convoluted because the client owns the master, but everything that goes into the master is still owned by the producer. That's a great way of building up your stock footage library. You know, you've got to get one aerial shot, you know, just straight up the bay to the bridge. Well, we've got to hire that camera that's playing for an hour. Anyway, check it out at the Digital Production Buzz at digitalproductionbuzz.com.
Cool. Thank you very much, Phil. That was Philip Hodgesy, Digital Production Buzzmeister. You can check his show out Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time at digitalproductionbuzz.com. They got a great show going live. There's a live chat, and you can talk all things Digital Production Buzz. Or just pop on over and subscribe right on iTunes at digitalproductionbuzz.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back. You want to learn all the great software on your Macintosh and get up to speed instantly? Well, you need to check out Lynda.com. Lynda.com is an educational website that offers online movie training 24/7 on Flash, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, Illustrator, After Effects, and 160 other topics. Subscribe and learn from over 11,000 tutorials for as low as $25 a month. Visit Lynda, that's Lynda.com, to check out hundreds of free sample training movies and more.
To coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you want a new MacBook Pro stuffed with all the RAM and hard drive you can fit in that puppy, upgraded as it's shipped, full factory warranty, brand new with a smoking deal, check out MCE Tech. That's MCETech.com. Cool stuff there. Right now we're here with Andrew Shallot, Mac Design Out of the Box Tip of the Week. How are we doing, Andrew?
Very good. Good day to you, gentlemen.
Good day. How's the weather in beautiful where the gracious folks live out there in the peninsula out there in Palos Verdes.
It is pouring rain and about 50 degrees.
Welcome to California.
Welcome to California. You don't get a refund on the weather.
Yeah, go home. Last week, we spoke about how to, when we're designing interfaces for web design, how you should start to count clicks, put yourself in the shoes, or the mouse, I should say, of the user, not necessarily the client. Well, today I just wanted to talk about what goes on a page. And I put together a little exercise that when I'm teaching a class, I sometimes hand this out on a tabloid sheet, and I put it together as a PDF. It's on my website, so if people want to go and download it, it's at shallot.com on the homepage. At the very bottom, you'll see a link that says Designer's Questionnaire.
Ooh.
And if you click on that, or if you're doing it right, you'll hold down the Option key and click on it, and it'll download to your desktop. And what it is it's something that I found in a book by Milton Glaser. Milton Glaser is an icon in design. This is the guy that actually was the one who put together the I Heart New York logo. He was the one that did that, that invented it. He's been around for many years. Anyway, he had a book out a few years back called Art is Work. And one of the things that he did was this visual questionnaire, which I thought was just a wonderful thing for how you can break up elements on a page and how you can start seeing things as not just this sort of amorphous flow of things, but how elements work individually. So on the thing, what it is, and this is sort of like ventriloquism on the radio, I guess, when I'm talking about design on the radio with you guys. But I have it, it's broken out so that there are spaces for you to fill in, so that there's one that says typeface, another one says human face, one says fruit, another says industrial object. In these boxes, you put an object that you love in that form. And then below it says a landscape, and you have sky, background, and foreground. And what it allows you to do is it allows you to take a scene or just disparate elements and put them together. And then if you do this as an exercise, because that's really all it is, it's a good exercise, you might come up with some surprising results on how and some interesting ideas on how all of these different elements work together in a layout. Very, very academic.
That's good, though. That you're actually, here's a hard piece of, good content you can use with your client stuff, and it's all free.
Yeah, well, I talked to somebody in the, retailing in the fashion just, off the to a floor, and they say a lot of the designers, when they come up and they choose colors and they do all of those things for the new fall lineups and whatnot, they do just like that. They just take collages of stuff and they just lay it on the table of just things, and then they come up with colors and fashion styles. So
So I've done this as a service, and you can link to it, I guess, just go to shallot.com and you'll see it at the bottom of the page and download this. And it's, as I said, it's a PDF. I put it on tabloid size because that gives you more room to do that. But you can probably shrink it and print it in two pages or whatever you want to do. But it's there. It's there for the listeners.
And it goes back to our design statement of last week of one click. Why send them to one site to another site? Just go to shallot.com, click once, and you got it, brother.
Wow, you're clever, Scott.
Efficient design, right? We don't want to waste people's time. You want your customer to actually get in, do what they need to do if you're doing web design, and make everything, a fine user experience. And that's what we've created with Inside Mac and Andrew Shallot's Tip of the Week. You got to love it. Andy, thank you so much for that excellent information.
Thank you, guys.
That was Andrew Shallot, author of Mac Design Out of the Box, educator, and just a cool all-around graphics guy. He makes a killer pizza, too. You can check him out at shallot.com. That was Andy Shallot, shallot.com. Grab that information and use it. Exploit it. Have fun with it. You're listening Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. Do you have some cool content you've created? It's on a DVD. Now you don't have the original footage, but you need to pull it back off, bring it into Final Cut Pro or your Avid Nitrous News System or whatever.
Yeah.
Free DV. Final Cut Express, iMovie, you name it. Check it out, www.dvdxdv.com. Right now, we're here with Sam Levin, and he's got some cool Mac picks of the week. How are we doing, Sammy?
Fantastic, Scott, Brad. A lot of cool Mac picks, and some stuff that is from companies that we know and love and are somewhat indiscreet, or how would we say, they're not as conspicuous as some of the other big companies we all know and love. One of the companies is called PlasticSmith. This is a very small company based in San Carlos, California. Now, what they make are a whole line of laptop stands, and they are absolutely beautiful. If you want to check them out, just go to plasticsmith.com. The newest of their lineup is called the LapVantage Loft, and it's elegant. It comes in both a black and a brushed aluminum, and the top of it looks like it's illuminated. It's a blue acrylic plastic, and I can't explain it, guys, unless you see this up front. It looks like someone has turned a light on inside of it, but it just illuminates, and it's really beautiful. So it raises your laptop up above, and it gives a place for your keyboard, so you can slide it underneath. It's got a rotating stand. It will rotate full 360 degrees. It's polished acrylic. It's beautiful. It's available for $79.95, both in black pedestal and metallic pedestal. Check it out at plasticsmith.com. Next, we've got a very cool utility. How many times do you use iCal, Scott, and you want to find out what's going on, but you have to open iCal or iCalendar?
Right.
It takes a number of steps. Not only that, but if you noticed, iCalendar always says 17 on the bottom of your dock. Guys, do you know why it says 17?
That's the date it was released.
Exactly. And it never, you can't change that. So I'm always going, oh, my God, what is the date? And it takes time. Well, there's a really cool utility from Object Park Software. I believe these guys are out of Germany. And it's called Menu Calendar Clock for iCal and for Entourage. It's really well written. It places a little utility on your menu in the top right corner. And it looks like a little iCal, but it gives you the exact day. It says 4. You click on it, it drops down, and it tells you everything that's going on in your iCalendar, listing, to-do notes. This is the ultimate utility for iCal and Entourage. It's available right now for $18.95. You can download free demo version or free version. It's like a trial version. Head to objectpark.net. I love this utility. I just started using it this morning. If you're an Entourage or iCal user, Scott, I know you're Entourage, I believe.
Yep.
You will dig this utility. It's $18.95. It's worth every penny. And lastly, our friends from MC Technology or MC Technologies have come up with a really cool external DVD burning drive called the Lucid Drive. Now, what's important about this is that all the new MacBook Pros burn only in 4X. This allows you to burn in 8X, and it's double layer. They're giving one away with every MacBook Pro that's sold because they're an authorized Apple reseller, but they also sell it externally. It's called the Lucid Drive from MC Technologies. It's a super fast FireWire super drive, and it's 8X double layer for all of your burning needs. And I know, Scott, you and Brad both burn a lot of DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And I haven't put my upgrade in my PowerBook yet, but I do have the Lucid Drive, and the thing's very cool.
Did you? He sent one to you, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. So, Brad, you're next on the list.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I need one of those. 4X is just too slow.
Not a problem.
But Brad's got a new MacBook Pro, so, yeah. You know, too bad. Sorry, brother. Hey, Sam, thank you very much. That was Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. You can find out more information at InsideMacRadio.com. Next up here, we're going to have Tad Shelby from Logitech. We'll be right back.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Lynda.com. If you need to learn some great software on your Mac, it could be anywhere from Excel, Office, you name it, Photoshop, Illustrator, Go Live, Flash. Check them out. 11,000 movies online. www.lynda.com. Right now, we're joined in studio with Tad Shelby from Logitech. How you doing, Tad?
Great, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you guys have a very cool brand new product that you've released here, I think at PMA, actually.
Yeah.
This is called New Look.
It is.
With an interesting spelling, I might add, too.
Yeah. Let's do it together, Scott. Okay, it's New Look, but it's spelled N-U-L-O-O-Q. So it's, you know, N-U-L-O-O-Q. If you go to, like, Logitech.com/NULOOQ, you can check it out. And it's you know, this is radio, so I have to ask people to sort of, you know, visualize with me, because it's a new hardware product and software that is designed for users of Adobe Creative Suite 2 versions of Photoshop, InDesign, Illustrator, even works a little bit with Bridge.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most novel and new input device for creative professionals since the mouse. I mean, it is very, very different. And it's not a mouse, and it's not a keyboard.
No.
Nope.
But it's interesting. So how would you classify this? I guess this is a command center?
I mean, in a sense, it's kind of, you know, I mean, media people understand the concept of control surfaces.
Right.
But, you know, since InDesign, Illustrator, and Photoshop are sort of 2D, there's not necessarily been a specialized control surface for that the way there is for video and audio applications.
Right.
So what you have is, we'll visualize for a moment if you're not on the website, it looks like, let's say, a half a tennis ball, and it's really heavy, has a big aluminum base, and it works in your non-dominant hand. So your right hand is on the mouse, your left hand would be on this if you're right-handed. And on top of this half a tennis ball is a touch-sensitive click wheel that you might find on certain Apple Music playing devices. You would call that a
click wheel?
A click wheel.
Okay, a click wheel, sure. And so what happens is you have this ring or this layer of your cake that is mounted on springs. And the base of that tennis ball is pretty heavy, and you come up and there's this little ring called the nav ring. And as you take your fingers and nudge that ring around, you move the imagery on the screen. So I can go like north, south, east, west, 360 degrees. And so think about that. Most of the time, you move your cursor to a portion of the image. Now you can move the image to your cursor. And why is this important? You have 30-inch monitors now, which are beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful things. But when you go searching for menus or getting tools or adjusting tools or navigating imagery, you know, that can be 1 foot there and 1 foot back. And, you know, people working, you know, day in, day out, grinding it out, that's a lot of travel.
Yeah, that is a problem with big displays, because you really have to move that mouse across to get, or if you have duals, you got to really go to the other side. It's huge.
It's huge. So for the folks in 2D, you know, they have the ability to control the imagery with those two fingers, but that click wheel on top that they scroll their finger around gives them the ability to control option values like in Photoshop or InDesign, where let's say you want to change the brush size. So you can have a brush and be navigating and doing some work and just making a little adjustments to your brush size to, like, match some artifact on your screen. And, you know, brush, zoom, brush, out, go move around. And it provides a much more connected workflow where you're not, you know, sort of going through command bracket, plus, minus, you know, go back and grabbing another little thing, that there's things that come up on the screen that allow you to sort of work in a more connected way and you're not interrupted as much. And it's a lot of fun because when people do see it, and this is the hard part, folks, this is one of those things when you do touch it, you get it.
Right.
It doesn't take it's not a long learning curve.
No, not at all. Definitely. So there's two ways to get this. You actually have, you can program the dial and you have this professional series. Okay, that's the hardware device. But then there's actually sort of the dial that's just a software thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, when we say professional series, because there's the New Look, N-U-L-O-O-Q, Navigator, which is the device we just described.
Right.
And it comes with the New Look, N-U-L-O-O-Q, Tool Dial. And the Tool Dial is a really fun concept because that comes together, and that's the Pro Series, and that's always together. We're always selling them together.
Right.
And the nice thing is on that device, the New Look Navigator I just described, you have these macro buttons like you would have on, you know, a lot of different devices that you can program. And you can click a button and have a circular menu appear, a little pie menu appear under your cursor. And on a 30-inch monitor, I think just the value of finding your cursor some days is probably worth having the software
for. Because
the
thing is so tiny, it's like a little pinpoint, you know, on somewhere on the display.
You ever have that? You just come up and you start wagging it, like, where the heck is it? Where am I? Where am I? So you come up and you click the button. This pie menu appears underneath your cursor every time. And if you make a selection, it then disappears. Now, the cool part about it is you can customize that with not only, you know, executables from the Finder, which is the applications, folders, icons, files.
Right.
But you can customize it with tools directly from Adobe, Photoshop, InDesign, and Illustrator.
That's cool.
That is really cool. I mean, we had to do a lot of work with Adobe. Adobe and Logitech had to work together on this very closely.
To be able to integrate some kind of driver or plug-in from your software and hardware
right.
to actually integrate and actually control the stuff within the user interface of
Right.
This, all this Adobe software.
And you know, so you have this really neat sort of new way to work in the application, which is you're sort of zooming around with, you know, two fingers, you know, your imagery, and then you make a click, and then there's the tools you want. Because, you know, a lot of people in Photoshop and these applications, they're just going to use four or five tools. I mean, the photo retouchers are using like four or five tools. You know,
I only use like two or three, right?
Yeah. And yet there's like 500 plus keyboard shortcuts in there, you know, so much to remember. So, you know, it's kind of nice to have that palette, your own personal palette. And that's the New Look Tool Dial. So, you know, one thing on the New Look Tool Dial, Scott, is you can get it free as a 30-day free trial off our website and just kind of play with it yourself. And, you know, that function alone of just being able to have the tools you want when you want right under your cursor, that's kind of fun to toy around with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, can I share one more thing with you that we did with the device here? Because, like Scott said before, the device itself can be configured for other applications, the New Look Navigator. And we have created application settings for other applications. You know, I played with it in Final Cut, and it certainly looks like it's going to be a great product someday.
Sure.
But right now, you know, there's certain things you would want it to do. They're going to cause some, we would have to do more programming and more work. So today, I wouldn't say it'd be more than like I'd play around with it. But, you know, you could see a very short step forward where it's just great to scrub with that click wheel.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful scrub. It does great. But you see that, oh, it needs to do this, and then it needs to do this, and you twist, and you zoom in on the waveform. I mean, that is a pretty nifty thing.
Oh, that is nice.
Oh, yeah, no, it's cool. Really cool.
Now,
this will
work now, or this is some stuff you guys just been playing with in
development? Well, we're not providing application settings to download for that yet, because it's going to need a couple steps before I think we would treat that customer segment appropriately. We're not going to go halfway.
Right.
You know, for these guys. We want to give them a professional product that looks right. For Adobe Creative Suite, though, we are so there today and focused on those guys. But you can customize this application to work with other things. And I was at the Atom conference this weekend, which was a great conference that Adobe does with Russell Brown. And we configured it to work with Google Maps.
Yeah.
And I mean, guys, you have like the whole world in your hand.
Right, because you could just twist and move and zoom.
It's freaky, yeah, because you have like, you have the sort of the rotate the earth model, right? And then you have the nudge model, which basically pushes you in whatever direction you want. And then you zoom in with your finger on top of the device, right? So you're sitting out there at 70,000 miles, and then you zoom in to like, you know, New York or like Trafalgar Square in London. And then you start driving around, you know, over the streets with one hand. I mean, you can't stop doing it. It's like the greatest thing, you know?
Now, this is something you guys actually sort of had a little hack you were writing and tweaking code. Or is it something you could just do right in the UI and say, just make this thing a right click, a left click?
Yeah, exactly. You can do that right in the UI. Because that's a fairly simple sort of keyboard repeater thing, you know, left, right, up, down, this, that. And so anybody can go in and customize with the driver for these types of functions. But we will have applications for that downloadable from our website reasonably soon, because that is just too much fun. Google Maps and the New Look Navigator are just heaven.
Right. So if someone actually wants to use, they could use this really for, I mean, if they had, you could use this in Excel.
Oh,
to pan across cells in a spreadsheet.
You know, that day will come too. I mean, we definitely think that.
But I guess right now, if you want to do your own little customization,
exactly.
If you're not super dialed in for the set app, you can start using it now.
Yeah, you could get it now. And if you were kind of clever, you know, we don't have instructions for this on the website, but we have taken it and taken little Visual Basic scripts and gone, okay, now I'm zooming across my spreadsheet, now I'm zooming into my spreadsheet. Same thing in Word for all these other functions. So you see there's a future for this device, which is kind of fascinating, but we're really focused on Adobe Creative Suite 2 folks right now.
Sure, that's the main game.
And it's out of the box, you know, trying to make their life better. But it is such a novel thing. I mean, that
yeah, but the combination of this and a Wacom tablet.
Crazy. I tell you, we have Bert Munroy has been a great person to work with in the focus groups and development of the product.
Yeah.
And Bert's a big user of the Cintiq tablet from Wacom, right? And he's a lover of the software because, you know, on a Cintiq, it's absolute positioning. So you get this big upper left-hand corner, shortcuts. And anytime you're a tablet person, you know, you kind of have this, I have my keyboard, I have my tablet, I have too much stuff going on, you know. So he loves that tool now because it just clicks, it comes up, and he makes a selection of the tool, and he, you know, he's an artist, and he goes to work, and he stays connected because your focus is
That's where the hardest thing with the Wacom tablet is to get up to the menus because you just can't find them on that tablet easily.
Wacom has some great products. It's a great combination.
It is really tough to do
that. It is cool. So we're here with Tad Shelby from Logitech. We're talking about the New Look, and we'll tell you how to get back. Actually, we'll tell you again right now. It has an interesting spelling. It's N-U-L-O-O-Q. So just go to logitech.com/newlook, N-U-L-O-O-Q. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz?
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. You want to get all the coolest software for your Macintosh updated, get in, get out quick. Check them out at macupdate.com. We're here with Tad Shelby from Logitech, and we've been talking about their brand new navigator called New Look. That's N-U-L-O-O-Q, and you can find this information out at logitech.com/newlook. That's N-U-L-O-O-Q.
Hey.
Cool stuff.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. It's you know, you don't get too many chances to do something new.
No, it's definitely new because it's a whole new product category. It's not a mouse. It's not a trackball. It's not your same old graphics tablet. It's new.
Yeah.
It's the new look.
It's the new look, you know, and it's definitely a different approach where you're trying to have sort of a hardware and a software device that work together.
Yeah.
But I've seen a little bit of this. There's some other software where all the action sort of happens on the screen. You know, what's the new Nikon software?
Capture? Or no, it's the Capture.
That
it's the newer Capture.
That just came out. You put points up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, sort of that philosophy of like, you know, work on the image. Get the interface sort of in line with your attention. And
right.
That's kind of what we're trying to do, too. It's like the, you know, the tool dial comes up where you're focused, which is where your tool's at.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sort of a philosophy. It's hard with these applications and the large monitors to remember, you know, where every little keyboard shortcut is.
Oh, or, yeah. You need that visual. I mean, sometimes options and it's like they're buried in a menu somewhere and you just need a way of getting to them a lot quicker because you're just, you know, you don't remember the keyboard shortcuts, especially if you're new to an application or you haven't used it a lot of times. You don't remember a lot of those things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had some very famous photographers come up at the shows we were at and they come up and they just nudge it around and they go like, oh, that's it. I want it. You know, I mean, they get it when they touch it.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing about radio. Even if you get to the website, you're going to get to the website. You're listening to us. But then you're going to have that sense of, I can take this little ring, my image dance on screen, just nudging it. And you got
to
remember,
see it.
Yeah, the ring actually just moves a fraction of an inch. It's kind of spring mounted. So as you kind
of
nudge
it a little bit. It's more of a resistance type deal. You're not actually looking for travel. It's more of like, I'm going to. Now, is it velocity? Is it?
Yes.
So the farther you push.
Harder you push, faster you go.
Okay.
Push a little, go slow. Push, twist a little harder, go fast.
Okay. That where do you think someone could actually go see one in a store and touchy? And
well, we're working very hard right now to place this in your Apple specialist near you.
Yeah.
And we're currently, this is so new, I mean, it's right off the boats from China, so all the distributors are tagged up. And we're working with specialists. We hope to have it in the Apple retail stores very soon. But, that's all going to take a little bit of time. We're in the middle of trying to stock
it. Yeah, but you can buy one from the website now.
You could. CDW, Mac Mall. Just make sure you go in and do a search under NULOOQ, and it'll come
right
up.
And you can buy it direct from Logitech, too, right?
Yeah, and you can get it from Logitech. As of today, they have the Buy Me buttons on. But you want to see what other professionals think, go to our website, and you can see what Morty Golding thinks. You can see what Burt Munroy thinks, see what Jennifer Wills thinks. We've had some very talented and renowned artists working with it, and they give their input on the device.
If
if
Burt digs it and Morty, I mean, how much more do you need to know?
No, absolutely.
That's a guy that works with big displays and lots of images. I mean, he brings in high resolution, you need something fast.
And Morty was, the product manager for Illustrator.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't get higher on that chart than Morty Golding. I mean, we're very lucky to have him working with us, and his input on these tool dial sets. You can take the sets that you make for the tool dial, and you can export them and share them with friends, right? So maybe you make the perfect set for a given type of task. And Morty Golding has tool dial sets up there. Burt Munroy is going to be getting me his tool dial sets any day now. Jennifer Wills has tool dial sets. So you can download tool dial sets from renowned artists and sort of try them out. Makes it quick to customize. But
so you can customize this tool dial yourself too as well. You can make your own.
Yeah, the tool dial is the software. So I'm kind of switching subjects between the device and the hardware. But when you work with the software, you can customize just the tools you want.
Well,
so
awesome.
I got 30 seconds, Tad. One more time, the website, the address.
Logitech.com/NULOOQ.
Hey, thanks for coming today. We really appreciate it.
I did play with the product
myself for a little bit at Photoshop World, and it is very cool. So definitely check it out. Logitech.com/NULOOQ. That's New Look. That was Tad Shelby. Thanks, Tad. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Back to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. We've had some cool stuff today and some more cool stuff coming up. Earlier in the show, we had Philip Hodges doing the Digital Production Buzz Weekly Post News. We had Andy Chalalon doing the Mac Design Out of the Box. Of course, we had Little Sammy Levin doing the Cool Mac Picks of the Day. We had Tad Shelby from Logitech talking about New Look. And Tad's going to stay with us for the rest of the show here and just
hang out.
Talk about cool Mac where the action is.
Yeah.
And then later in the show here, we're going to have Philip Groward on from a piece of software called BrowseBack. This is from smileonmymac.com. And this gives you a virtual web history that you can actually search for all the pages that you visited. You can print them or email them to someone. It's a pretty cool piece of software. So we're going to talk about that. Then later on in the show, we're going to have John Rockwell. We were at the Remix Hotel and the Winter Music Conference in Miami Beach a few weeks ago. So John's going to come on talking about what happened at the Remix Hotel there at the National Hotel right on the beach in South Beach. And the Winter Music Conference. Their publication, John's with Primedia, that's now Prism or something, but basically they publish Mix Magazine, Electronic Musician, and Remix.
Oh, yeah.
So we're doing some stuff with John and their publications, and we're going to talk about that and all the cool stuff that went down in Miami.
Awesome. There was a lot going on in Miami that week. You had the Photoshop World and Remix going on.
Remix, and you had the Winter Music Conference and the International DJ Remix type international...
DJ contest?
No, it was like the awards thing. Some kind of big award show for all these... And they had a bunch of huge, monster, world-famous DJs from London and all over the world.
Was that broadcast at all? That would see something I'd watch on TV.
I think they did. There were some TV guys down there filming. But there was big stuff. I mean, huge guys that... from London and like all the guys that do Madonna.
The big clubs, yeah.
Big world famous DJs were having like a competition slash, and then they had an awards deal. And I went to the one. I went to the Remix Hotel in the Miami Beach, and it was crazy because when you go through this, you know, it's Art Deco and it's right on South Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
You go through the lobby. It's sort of like very Havana looking type, oh, you know, yeah, old
beautiful
Desi Arnaz gig, okay? And then you walk out onto this deal and they have a pool that's about 18, 20 foot wide.
Oh, yeah,
100
right,
foot long.
Oh, and to provide that extra like flavor to the whole week with all this action,
uh-huh.
It was spring break.
Right.
Oh, my God, there were so many beautiful women.
It was spring break, and then they had these cabanas set up with different vendors. So you had Apple had their own gig. All these vendors
right,
had
right
these,
around the pool, huh?
Dude, all the way down the pool area.
Oh.
And then they had more stuff set up in the back right on the beach.
Oh, right.
Oh,
and,
wow.
It was crazy.
The beach
that's
is just
cool.
Over the fence there.
Yeah, with my luck, see, I get there, and as soon as I get there, it starts pouring. Okay? So I missed all the really cool stuff, but I guess it was getting pretty wild there later in the evenings because that thing went to like midnight.
Wow.
Rain.
Yeah.
You know, they hadn't rained in a month either.
Right.
They hadn't had any rain at all. You showed up.
That's what happens, see? But, you know, Miami rain's nice. I mean, it was like 76 degrees out.
Yeah, you can't really. It's the tropical rain. You can't tell, you know, air, water, everything feels about the same temperature.
It was pretty
humid. It's really nice.
That's brutal. I mean, yeah. You know, we're in the Bay Area right now. It's been raining like a month. And I'm suddenly thinking, like, I had a buddy who used to be a Final Cut product manager move up to Portland.
Yeah.
I don't know how he adjusted. I mean, I just, like, I'm moving back. I mean, I'm in a month right now, and I know they live like this for, like, 4 months every year.
Right,
yeah. Portland and Seattle, and it's like I just couldn't manage.
But at least Portland warms up a bit.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of roses. It's the rose capital of the world, I think.
Oh yeah, Seattle's gorgeous too. It's
yeah,
just, I just
I like
I
downtown
be that
Seattle.
Wet.
Very European like. It's cleaner than downtown San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice in certain parts. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's all good, but it's just, you know, rain, water.
Water. We've been getting a lot of it.
South
yes,
Beach.
Yeah. South Beach, yeah.
So that Remix setup, I understand. I mean, they had like, what, one server and then like three audio stations set up off of that in a hotel. Like, it was a total professional suite.
Oh, yeah.
Set up like, you know, in hotel rooms. I mean, how did the power even manage, you know?
You know, they had to run in cabling and power because they were blowing all the breakers in all the hotel rooms. we'll talk about it later with John, but it was pretty wild. And Apple had a huge setup with Logic going. They had It was pretty wild.
Wow.
Cool stuff. So, hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, we're going to have Phil Godward from Smile on My Mac. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you're a creative professional, or even if you're an aspiring professional and you want to get great tips on Illustrator, Photoshop, InDesign, anything creative that's on your Macintosh, they have great tip newsletters, forums, all kinds of cool support. Go to creativepro.com. Right now we're joined by Philip Goward from Smile on My Mac, and we're talking about a very cool piece of software called BrowseBack. How you doing, Philip?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Scott?
Good. So tell us about, let's start off here. We got a few minutes. Let's talk about Smile on My Mac. You guys have a whole array of cool products. Give me a little background on the company and how you guys came together with all this cool stuff.
Well, we began the company actually about 3 years ago now. It was started by my business partner, Greg Scown, and myself. And Greg had been doing Mac work for a little while. I've been using a Mac for 20-odd years, and my previous business ended, and I thought, I just want to do Mac stuff. I don't want to deal with PC's work ever again. Doing a Mac I thought, you know, it's a wonderful luxury, but I deserve that luxury now.
Right, exactly.
And now, of course, it's essential, no longer a luxury. So Greg already had a product on the market called PageSender, a faxing product, and he was selling out under the company named Smile Software. And I was doing some research down at Macworld in San Francisco, and trying to decide really what product I was going to be building with my own little company called On My Mac. And we got together, we talked a month later and a month later after that, and we decided to build a product together. And then we said, well, what company name shall we use? Well, he had Smile. I had on my Mac, so we became Smile on my Mac.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool stuff there.
The product we built together at the time was Disc Label, which we showed at the last Macworld New York and got a Best of Show award for it. And we thought, well, this is a great thing. We should keep doing this together. And we've never really looked back. Since then, we've done other revs of PageSender. We released a product named PhotoPrinto for doing photo albums. And we've also created a PDF product for editing and marking up PDFs called PDF Pen. And we finally got to BrowseBack now.
Yeah, now the BrowseBack thing, let's talk about that. This is a way to archive and share web pages. I mean, there's a screenshot on your website that actually looks like a card layout.
Yeah, it's a card layout. BrowseBack is really two things. One of the things is it's just really wonderful switching tool where you show it to your PC users with these massive deck of cards of all of the web pages you've ever visited, which you can roll through kind of like you're using a dock. And you can see all the pages visually and very quickly grab one based on your visual memory, which is usually better than your word hunting memory. Of course, the thing backing it is a wonderful database, which isn't just the images of the pages, but it's the actual text of the pages you went to at the time you went to them, which is really a powerful tool, because if you're somebody who reads news articles every day, a news article doesn't necessarily live on the web all the time, and certainly not in an accessible form that you don't have to pay for again later.
Right.
And except your computer stores it when it's using BrowseBack.
Of course, most images on websites are already compressed and squeezed down pretty well. This is a one-to-one storage on your Mac. I mean, how many pages can you put on before you start getting into a problem of filling up your hard drive?
Well, the answer to that is, of course, as many as you want. You get to choose a preference in BrowseBack.
Right.
There are two aspects you can limit the pages you're going to store. One is on the number of days, and the other one is on the size of your disk space. So you can limit it to, say, 1 gigabyte, or you can limit it to 180 days, or whatever you would like within that range, or a combination of the two.
Now, are you saving actually little thumbnail images, snapshots of the web page as a disk image? I mean, as a picture, and then that's how you're flipping through them, reading it from the cache?
We're doing two things. We're saving miniature images of the web pages, so it's actually pulling those in fairly rapidly. And, of course, they're incredibly tiny. They're little JPEGs, which are it's really a very small quantity of disk space to grab those. But the thing which consumes more disk space, which is more interesting, is the actual physical web page itself. And we store all of those as PDF files. And we initially, of course, people think, PDF files, they're so huge. Well, they're not so huge if you rip out all the graphics and just store the text and the layout information, which is what we do. And you might say, but I want all the pictures on my web page. Well, when you go back to look at a web page in this PDF format, which is stored, BrowseBack is clever enough to be able to retrieve the images from the web, reconstruct the page as it was.
Now, if I wanted to actually store the images too, is there a preference? I can say, okay, well, if I want to do this, you can actually store all the images offline on your own machine?
Well, I hate to talk about future releases, but not at this time.
Oh, okay. Cool. So now is there another way too that I can just have BrowseBack where I can just maybe hit a key command or a function key or something to program something and actually just say, I want that web page. Boom, I just want this one. Click.
What you do when you launch BrowseBack, it's a hotkey press, and you have BrowseBack instantly on your screen. You just roll the mouse to the page you want, you double click it, and you're right there.
So that's very handy, because like you said, maybe if you don't want everything, but you just want to keep certain pages, like if you're doing research for something.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Well, what happens, the other thing I was thinking of is, if you don't have the images saved somewhere, what happens if the images go away or, you know, you have a stale link?
It just shows you a little blank spot where the image was, and it's usually an ad you never wanted anyway.
But maybe in a future release, and we'll have that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, most of the time, it's surprising. It's not really an issue. It's amazing that people never clear up the images off their websites. You tend to keep adding to them, thinking, I don't know if I can get rid of that image yet.
I do the same thing. I mean, I know there's images that I can pull off, but like you said, if I've killed the page, the images are probably still on the website.
Exactly.
On a server somewhere.
It's changed, and we've got that.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting there. So what other things have you seen actually people use BrowseBack for that would be, you know, sort of a good reason why someone would want to go out and buy this?
Well, a research tool is one thing, obviously. It is a research tool, and it's also a tool for going back. Let me talk a bit about it in terms of research, because we've got an interesting story as to how BrowseBack came about, really.
Okay.
Every few months, Greg and I get together and think, well, what's going to be the next cool thing? on the Mac, and we think, well, I use these tools now, these tools, this is what I'm not doing well, this is what I could use well. And we always use the web for research like everybody else. When we think we have an idea, we see, well, what is everybody else doing this? What's somebody else doing it similar? All that stuff. And one of the things we kept thinking as we went through that is, oh, well, let's go back to that page we wanted, and we could never go back to it because we'd never find it again. And that's kind of how the product was born, because you need to go back to that thing in that history list, which is usually a list of all the same names. It's just sorted by date. It's just a few days. So that's kind of how it appeared.
And this is these pages are searchable in Spotlight so that you can find them?
Precisely. If you yes. search, you'll find all of the web pages you visited, too, straight away in Spotlight. And also from within Browseback screen itself, if you type in a keyword or even descriptions of A and B and things like that, you will get the page is shown to be a quick indication of exactly how many there are, which are like that.
Now, what if you wanted to use this for, actually we have about 40 seconds, so I have a couple questions, and then I want you to give out the address and where we can find this on the web here. But something we can sort of ponder here before the break is, what if you wanted to use this for a web surfing logging device that maybe the user didn't know? So if you want to know where your kids were going on the web.
Well, I suppose you could, but usually you can tell Browseback's running, and kids are pretty darn smart these days.
Yeah, okay, there we go. So
you'd have to use it on your husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you wanted to get your mother-in-law and see where she's going, no problem.
Okay, there we go.
Blackmail the mother-in-law.
Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Printing for Less. If you need some business cards made, you can send these guys any file. I don't care if it's something hacked out in Mac Paint. They'll figure out how to print it. Full offset web printers is ink on paper, no digital press. This is real printing, smoking deals, great turnaround, excellent follow-up. I mean, it's really cool stuff. Check them out, printingforless.com. So we're back here with Philip Goward from Smile on My Mac, and we're talking about Browseback. Now, this is a universal binary application already, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
So this will run on our new MacBook Pro or somebody's MacBook Pro.
Your Intel iMac, your MacBook Pro, your Mac Mini?
It'll run beautifully on all of those.
Did you find a performance gain by writing a universal binary for the software or any of your guys' software that's universal binary?
For this particular one, not so much, because we're bound somewhat by disk speed and also graphics card speed. So a faster graphics card makes the biggest difference.
So I guess the MacBook Pro with a 256 megabyte PCI Express card in it.
Pretty nice.
Pretty nice compared to the old laptop.
Absolutely.
But otherwise, code-wise, for what you're doing, it wasn't that big a deal when actual, you know, there wasn't a huge performance gain or anything.
Not a huge performance gain in the code itself. For some of our other products, yes, especially those that use features like Core Image and QuickTime, there is definitely gains in there, and especially products like PDF Pen, where you can open hundreds of pages of PDF files at once. Obviously, that is a lot faster.
Yeah, and I think when Apple gets QuickTime 7.0 something up the speed so it actually works right, then it'll get actually a little better.
Ooh, there's a Pandora's box. We won't go there.
We've done
a couple speed improvements.
We won't go there. Okay, so Philip, where do I find out more information? Where can someone get? Is there a trial for any of this stuff?
There's a free trial. You can just download and try for 30 days on your computer. You can download that from www.smileonmymac.com. Mm-hmm. And just click the browse back link and download it straight away and give it a try. There's some online help and information, and any questions, always mail us at support@browseback.com.
Yeah, and I have a research project that I'm going to start working on here next week, so I'm going to use Browseback.
I like that. Yeah,
it's really cool. You can actually say this stuff, because otherwise, like you said, Philip, you know, you're just bookmarking 100 bookmarks.
Yeah, visual memory.
And there's nothing more impressive than looking over those web pages as little images. People always go, wow, when they first see the product.
Yeah, to be able to look it over. And I see, too, you can now, we got a couple seconds left here, but when the images are laid out on the screen, can you make little categories or groups?
You can't at this stage.
Another new feature.
Yeah.
You have to start paying you for product.
Hey, Philip, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Check those guys out, smileonmymac.com. They make some other products, and actually they make the stuff for Neato, for disc labels. So they make some cool labeling software to print stuff and make labels for your CD. So it's always cool when you can do that. And their photo print does some cool photo albums, and you can make scrapbooks. And scrapbooking is a huge market.
It's so big. PMA was just like a whole, you know, hundreds of yards of scrapbooking stuff.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Dan Steinhardt, runs Epson, okay? Epson has their own special product marketing product manager just for the scrapbooking. Just for scrapbooking, Epson has their own division.
Wow. You know,
that tells you how big that is.
You know, Dan has that whole print academy going on, and a large segment of that is for consumers, and there's a separate segment which is for pros.
Right.
And it's for people who are, you know, attracted to the being creative.
Yep.
But aren't necessarily, you know, professionals at Photoshop or digital photography or anything like that.
These people, you know, mainly, I guess, women. But there's guys at scrapbook, too. I mean, it's cool, but it's a huge thing.
Well, you know, I've heard that the digital SLR market, like, 5 years ago, was always guys, like, doctors and lawyers doing their professional shoots. And now it's, like, women who just can't stand the delay of the point-and-shoot digital
game.
It's like, hey, my Bobby there playing soccer, I got to get that shot.
Yeah, because I got to hit that scrapbook. Yeah. Right? So then you come back and you put this and you plug it in and you do some cool stuff in whatever software. And then, of course, you print it on your Epson printer.
Yeah, hey, got it. beautiful color.
And they have special scrapbooking paper now and special things that are made to actually, you know, print photos out and chop them up with a pair of weird little scissors.
You get a little macaroni
and you
glue
still glue
in
the
there?
Stuff together. Maybe. So you have this digital versus the analog, you know, tactile.
That's so wrong.
Crafted art.
That's beautiful. I love it.
Because, you know, we'll talk about that later. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can check his show out on Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. at digitalproductionbuzz.com for all kinds of creative, very cool conversation about post-production. You can actually talk to Grady Fletcher. You figure that one out, and you'll be able to go check it out. So digitalproductionbuzz.com.
Right on.
What we're talking about Grady Fletcher is,
do
you remember Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah, sure.
With, what's her name?
Angela Lansbury. Angela Lansbury.
Okay, in the television series, she had a nephew called Grady Fletcher. Okay, Grady always wore these blue polyester-like, you know, leisure suits because this thing was shot in the 70s, okay?
Okay.
Well, that guy that was on the show that was on almost every episode of Murder, She Wrote was Michael Horton that runs the LA Final Cut Pro user group now.
Oh!
And Michael's been in Star Trek and all kinds of movies.
Where are they now?
Yeah.
No, he basically was telling, I don't know if I should speak for him, but he says, you know, he really got out of that television acting thing because the roles are boring, you know, and he did a lot of acting over the years and just didn't like the roles anymore.
Did he find technology more engaging?
A lot more fun,
Doing
the theaters, but it's
fun stuff,
things.
You know.
You know, Hollywood's had to just grapple with this conversion to the digital, you know. I mean.
Oh, but you know, as we've had on the show, what was really amazing about the Macintosh is that what you see and when you talk about Final Cut is that there's just a massive conversion over to Final Cut. Just people everywhere that are just switching to Final Cut because it's now a system that you can kind of hand anybody. It's affordable.
I mean, the fundamentals of being affordable and being an open system.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to remember other vendors that started with an A just charging you hundreds of dollars for a driver for your hard drive. Let's just remember how they used to treat.
We were talking about that earlier in the show. So here's the deal, okay? Apple comes out with universal binaries for Final Cut Pro.
Yeah.
And you have whiners on the web whining that they had to pay $49 to get a new version. And actually, it's a full .dot upgrade, plus there's a bunch of bugs fixed. But everybody's whining because they had to pay $50. Now,
you get bugs fixed and you get extra speed.
Yeah,
now $49.
Remember, I have an Avid system.
Oh.
Okay, I got to pay $2,000 a year just for the right to buy an upgrade. That's not $49. It's $2,000.
Well, that's like having a personal seat license at the Oakland Coliseum. There you go.
Yeah.
Talk
now,
to Al Davis. Nothing...
You can pay me $2,000 so you can pay me more.
The Avid support package is a very good deal, and you get a lot of support with it. But I'm just going to show people that stop whining that you got to pay $50 to get some new cool new features and a new upgrade.
I mean, you know, the great thing about Final Cut 2 is that, I mean, of course, the way they took the whole interface game up a step when they came out, and they continue to refine it, but that you sort of have what sort of Photoshop is in a way, which is Photoshop is almost like an entry-level image editing program because anybody who ever thought they needed to do anything with a photograph knows, I got to get Photoshop.
Exactly.
So you have these people like, okay, I use a filter, I do this or that. Now they have elements, so that's kind of changing. But Final Cut sort of became that for video. It sort of became like, you know, it's accessible enough interface. Because, I mean, look at Premiere. Premiere, they're looking the same. Everyone's got the same setup. But then you can go all the way to editing a movie. I can do my little, you know,
you can start with your class project for your son, you know, and then you can go all the way up to, you know.
To a movie. Now, I have to say, I got to step back, and there's probably people listening going, oh, BS, because there's iMovie, and iMovie's elegant.
It is.
I think the learning curve between iMovie and Final Cut, even Final Cut Express, isn't as big. If once you're kind of familiar with the idea of that you're kind of cutting clips together and doing all that stuff. I don't think it's hard.
Yeah, and it's so much better than Windows Movie Maker. I saw someone using it earlier this week, okay? And I'm talking, what a hack.
You know,
I'm sorry, okay?
Yeah.
I love Office and the whole Mac business unit, okay?
Yeah.
But Windows Movie Maker is a hack, man. That thing's horrid.
Ow.
But that's okay. We can be biased here because, you know.
It's inside Mac.
We feel sorry for the heathen PC users. Yeah. They can come around.
Love hearing guys saying, like, I just didn't ever want to work on a Windows again, so now I just smile.
Right. That's why the guys are smiling on their Mac, see? Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up here, we're going to have John Rockwell talking about Remix Hotel Miami. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OS X FAQ. If you want the coolest tips for your Mac with Mac OS X, Mac OS X Unix, design stuff, news for Mac Minute, all the stuff about Apple's developers connection, all kinds of things going on, check it out, osxfaq.com. Right now we're joined by a buddy of mine, John Rockwell. He's one of the directors over there at multiple magazines. What's your official title that we would want to say? Because you're not with just one publication. You're the man.
Oh, don't say that, but my official title is Group Director of Audience Marketing.
There we go.
Prism Business Media.
Prism.
Sounds formidable, doesn't it?
It is. It's very formidable, with hundreds of magazines and publication. But John, your gig is Mix Magazine, Electronic Musician, and Remix.
Yes.
And we got to join you a few weeks ago in beautiful Miami Beach and South Beach, right at the National Hotel.
Yeah, it was great, except you came during the rainstorm.
I know, it was terrible. I show up and it rains like 4 inches in an hour. And I bet you later that afternoon it was killer.
It's raining 4 inches an hour right here, right now.
Yeah.
We got to get you a plane ticket.
He is getting a plane ticket out of here.
So, John, tell our audience here, our listeners, maybe a real quick about maybe Mix Magazine, Electronic Musician, and Remix, and then let's talk about these Remix hotels you guys put on across the country, and then we'll get into Miami here.
Okay, well, our magazines are for audio professionals all the way from the top end, the people who work at the big recording studios, down to the home, the person who's got his own home studio. And in the case of Remix and the Remix Hotel, we have DJs and electronic music producers and people like that. So we hit everybody pretty much who's working in audio today, whether working in sound for picture, or they're a producer, or they're a DJ, or they're just a hobbyist. So we've got a little bit of everybody, and we reach them. All of these people through our magazines, but a few years ago we decided to start getting people involved and getting people involved with the technology that people use in audio, whether it's the latest software or the hardware. We started getting them involved by setting up these things called Remix Hotels, which is basically we take over a hotel and we bring in a whole bunch of technology and technology companies, including Apple. We basically get a whole bunch of DJs and producers and music professionals, and we get them testing equipment and playing with the stuff, and we have performances and do a little bit of everything. So, 2 weeks ago, the biggest event we do every year, it was down in Miami Beach, not a tough gig, at the National Hotel. And what we did was we had about 6,000 people pop up, and we do our event in conjunction with the M3 Music Festival, and it's during the week of the Winter Music Conference down there, which is the big electronic music conference that happens every year. So that's what we did, and it was amazing. We had an amazing number of people, and we had about 30 different companies come and show their equipment, including Apple was showing off the new Intel machines, and we got to touch them. It was very exciting. So
yeah, there you go.
You got to touch them?
You got to touch them.
That was about as close as we got. You know, we did try to steal one from their hotel room, but they didn't like that. So
yeah, Thomas would have got mad.
E.T. would have found you, man.
Yes, he definitely would have. But we had it's an amazing group, because in Miami there's like 10,000 DJs and producers and a lot of wannabes and hangers-on, too. Just an amazing group of people. Everybody who's doing the most cutting-edge things with the software and with the hardware and just the latest music are there during that week, and they all come to our event to play around with the equipment. So it was just an amazing group of people. And Scott will tell you, when he was there, even though it was pouring rain outside, we took over the whole hotel, and a lot of the event was outside. Beatport, who does music downloads for DJs, had a huge stage set up, and we had people playing there for 3 days, and they all had to come inside suddenly because it was pouring rain. Each one of the exhibiting companies takes a suite in the hotel, and they just do whatever they want. DigiDesign was there and did classes for people, and Apple was there, a whole bunch of others. I'm trying to remember them all now. Ableton, Akai, M-Audio. Of course, Apple had a huge booth they do every year. So it was Stanton was there. And it was really, it's amazing to me.
Hey, if somebody wanted to go to a Remix in the near future, would they have an opportunity? Are you guys?
Oh, absolutely. We want everyone to come. So remixhotel.com is our website, or remixmag.com, either one. And Remix Hotel has all the information about the upcoming events, all the details on, you know, how to register, where the events are going to be. The next one is in New York, SAE Institute on Herald Square, and it's June 23rd through the 25th.
The SAE Institute doesn't sound as sexy as the National Hotel.
It's not quite as fancy a venue, but I will tell you that because New York being New York, and it's a relatively small space, and I feel bad for the students at the SAE Institute when we're there, because the place is solid wall-to-wall DJs. And so that's our next event at the end of June, and I was just asking our publisher and the editors today if I could announce any of the headlining people that are going to be speaking at the panels, and of course they don't know yet, but they will soon. So
you can bet the action's going to be on the ground, though.
Yeah, and we're going to be having, last year we had about 8 panels, and this year we're going to take it up to more. And one of the most interesting things about these events for people is not only do we have all the technology there, but we actually get working DJs and producers in. So if you're wanting to learn or wanting to understand the space better, you can go right in and learn everything about right from the professionals. So,
what kind of top names did you guys have down last time? And like,
in Miami, we had Coldcut, and we had Gabriel in Dresden, and I'm trying to remember the other one that we had this time. Last year in New York, we had Chuck D. That was the big derogatory one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he showed up with an entourage of about 40 people.
Yeah, he just, like, travels with an army.
And the other thing was that it's always amazing because people are always vaguely surprised when they, because they're a very small space, and everyone's jumbled together, so you have these big names just standing, listening to somebody on a panel just the same way, and then sometimes they're on the panel too. So yeah, so we do four of the events. We're going to have one in New York in June. We've got Atlanta, which is a new location for us, in August, and then in November we're in Los Angeles again. So
I bet you get, wherever you're going, you're going to pick up some big names. Who's coming up for the New York? You can have
that's any... what I don't know. I wish I could tell you. They didn't tell me that. I asked because I knew I was going to be on this today, and I asked, and they gave me no useful information.
So surprise.
On our website, we'll announce it as we do, and we're also going to be emailing everybody who's attended in the past. We'll be emailing you all and warning everybody who's coming and whatnot. We're also going to be doing a pre-event party of some type, which to be determined, that we always do. And so that's always good too. And when you register for the event, you can get into the parties as well.
Yeah, they're always fun stuff. Now, we have some stuff that we're not going to actually announce today, but you'll see Inside Mac working here closely with these guys, with John, because we're going to be doing stuff with Mix and Remix and covering some events here. So we're going to be, I think, at the rest of the Remix Hotel events this year.
That'll be
rocking, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Broadcasting
from the floor. You guys are welcome anytime. We'll even give you, a little VIP treatment.
There we go, see? So they did in Miami. It was great. John's such an excellent host, and I can't believe how many people were there. It's just
it was amazing, and the interest level, it's just, this is, I'm not a DJ, so, my understanding is relatively limited. But when you see people, and Scott and I walked around about to some of the exhibitors, and just you see the people working on the equipment and playing with the software and trying out new things. And this is the most interesting electronic music being made is coming from those people. So it is absolutely fascinating to me to watch them work and to think through ideas. And it was just amazing to me the level of new equipment that comes out constantly. We have a hard time, I think, keeping up with it in the magazine. And it just was, every one of our exhibitors had new stuff. So it was absolutely fascinating to me.
It sounds like it's just a really exciting segment.
Well, the nice thing about this is that these are not only high-end, the pros who are the big shots in the space, but also a lot of people who are just coming out of high school and elsewhere that are coming to these events, and they're just getting in, and there's a very interesting music coming out of these people. And if I got handed one more CD...
Johnny, we're coming to a break. Hold on one sec. We'll be right back. You're here with John Rockwell. We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by you, the listener of the Inside Mac show. So if you have a comment, a segment you'd like to hear, we're going to have a new segment coming up here soon about talking about Macs and small business.
Macs and small business, guys. You can do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you have any comments or any suggestions, or you're looking to hear about some software that you're using or you need to use, or something you don't want to use a heathen box for at your work and you want to do it on the Mac, pop us an email off at radio@insidemac.com, and we'll hand it over to our new small business correspondent that will...
somewhere over here.
In a future time.
Yeah. That'll be able to help with that, and just cool stuff. So we're here with John Rockwell from Prism Publications. It actually is... Mix Magazine,
mm-hmm.
Remix, an electronic musician, and we've been talking about the cool gigs at Remix Hotel and what we, we had some fun in Miami.
Yeah.
If it wasn't raining, it would have been even better. Okay, so Johnny, we'll have some stuff here, announcements pretty soon about some stuff that we're working on together, but yeah. Why don't you give our listeners where they can find out information on getting copies of the magazine? Do they subscribe to them? Do they buy them? Or if you're a professional, do you get them? You know, how all that stuff works, and where can you send these people to actually find out about these three different publications?
Well, if you want to go to the publications for, you can come to, for Electronic Musician, it's emusician.com. For Mix Magazine, it's mixonline.com. And for Remix Magazine, it's remixmag.com. And for the hotel events, to find out what's going to happen at the next events, it's remixhotel.com. And on all those sites, you can click on any of the subscribe links, and you can either subscribe for a paid subscription online, or you can request a free subscription, and we may, depending on who you are, we'll send you one as well. So.
Wow, so there's even free stuff there.
I'm really curious. What's the audience that would go to a Mix Magazine that would go to a Remix Magazine?
Well, remember that Remix Magazine is the electronic segment of the music business at the moment, electronic music. So the people at Mix Magazine, who are the professional recording engineers and the high-end people at the major recording studios and the major recording labels, they read Remix to find out new stuff that's going on in the space and new artists and things that they may not know about.
More post-production.
Correct.
Then Remix, which is more
because
music.
Because Mix Magazine professionals are the real high-end recording people, engineers.
And the electronic musicians are the guys that are actually banging away on the instruments in the studio.
Correct. And then they have a home studio, and they're moved way beyond a keyboard and a couple microphones. Now they're in a whole new world, and with the software that's out there now, that it's amazing what can be done in someone's garage. So
yeah,
which seems to happen a lot.
It's a vast world. You got the garage, and then you got like Skywalker Ranch, where they do the films and all. Like,
right.
That's up north of us. It's amazing.
The sound for picture, that whole environment, and then live sound as well is another area that we're in. So you've got professionals at all over the place, and we try to cover a little bit of everything. In Mix Magazine, for example, one of our favorite things to do is every new recording studio we cover, and we try to we do big features on them. My favorite recently being Snoop Dogg's new studio, which
cool stuff. Hey Johnny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you guys.
You'll hear more here from John Rockwell at Prism Publications. We're going to have a bunch of more stuff going on with these guys, with Mix and Remix, Electronic Musician. They also publish Millimeter Magazine for the film people and all kinds of stuff. These guys do all kinds of great business publications and cool stuff there. I'd like to thank the guests of today's show. We had Philip Hodges, Andy Shallett, Sam Levin, of course, in studio with us, Tad Shelby from Logitech.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff with the new look. Check that out. You can go back to their Logitech's website to find out that. We had Phil Goward on from Smile on My Mac, and then, of course, John Rockwell from Remix Hotel and the Winter Music Conference and Mix Remix Magazine, Electronic Musician. You can find out more information at InsideMacRadio.com.